1988. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we have a fascinating episode of the Paracast for you today. But before we get to our main guest, and I'll tell you who he is. He's Dr. Bruce Maccabee, a scientist who is involved in UFO research. We're going to talk about the Gulf Breeze case, which he investigated thoroughly, and other stuff. Later. We also have so many questions. One of our listeners gave us a list of questions that's enough for a whole show. I couldn't believe it. Let's go back in time to our guest 2 weeks ago. Now, 2 weeks ago,
oh boy,
we had a lot of fun with J.C. Johnson. This is why I called it a campfire episode. You know, you're sitting around the campfire, people are telling you stories. But some people, skeptical or not, say, you know what? He's telling stories. Where's his evidence for any of this stuff? Now, you've known J.C. for year after year. Is he just telling stories, or is there a very strong factual basis behind all this stuff?
Well, you know, Gene, that's a really good question, and, you know, I want to be careful with how I answer it. I have never gotten a sense from J.C. that he's purposely making up stuff. I really think he believes all the stuff that he investigates. I have always found it, how would I put this, just highly unlikely that a single person would have as many claimed experiences as he has had. Yet, I'm an example of somebody who has had an incredible amount of unexplained sightings and experiences. I do consider myself to be healthily skeptical. I do question my own eyes, but I've had amazing experiences in my life, so I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I really would like JC to come up with some slam dunk evidence, some photographs, some video footage, you know, some solid scientific evidence or visual evidence that would even document one of these incredible claims of his. I mean, he's so much fun to listen to that, you know, I think we have to, you know, take everything that we hear from experiencers and from people who claim these types of things. So but we have to take it with a grain of salt. But living in the area that he does, I mean, it is filled with traditional people, with stories, with legends, with claims. You know, I find it very interesting that I should get a call from a very respected ex-aerospace engineer, Ron McGare, with an amazing report of a small 3-foot-tall mini T-Rex. And then JC, I get a similar report from him the same day. Totally unrelated to the report that I got from McGare. So, you know, I don't know what to make of it. I can understand why some of our resident skeptics, who I don't understand why they would even listen to an episode like this with JC, unless they're really jonesing for somebody to rag on. But I can understand why they might have, you know, issues with some of the claims that he's made. But the guy really does help people. He goes out. People do have strange experiences, they claim, and he goes out and at least attempts to help them, at least attempts to document the information. And none of our skeptics are willing to do that, are willing to put in the time to actually help people. And I think that's one thing that's overlooked in all this critique and complaints about people going out and attempting to investigate these types of things, is they're trying to help people. And, you know, you can take everything else away from them, but you can't take that.
So the key is he's collecting legitimate cases from people, trying to make sense of them. He's not a scientist. What is his background?
That's a good question. He's a river guide. He's been doing river guiding for a lot of years. He spends a lot of time in the outdoors. And I think that is something, again, that's overlooked by our skeptics and naysayers. The man is a man of the outdoors. He's very, very competent in a natural environment and natural settings. I've spent time outside with him. He's the real deal in terms of his outdoorsman knowledge and the amount of exploring that he does around the wonderful Four Corners area. So, sure, living in Cincinnati, Ohio or someplace in the Midwest, you don't have context about how big and vast and magical this particular part of the world is around the Four Corners. So I think you have to take everything with a grain of salt. JC Telly is an amazing storyteller. I just love listening to him and guffawing about every 5 minutes. But what can I say, Gene? You know, we needed a guest at the last minute. We hadn't heard from JC in a while. I called him up. He's always fun to listen to.
Yeah, now somebody is complaining because JC is associated with someone named Tom Biscardi.
Not anymore. Not since that in just ridiculous frozen Bigfoot in the box scenario about 4 years ago. JC was involved in that and was very upset, which he mentioned on the show. He doesn't have anything to do with Biscardi or this dire character who's now trotting out this supposed dead Bigfoot. He thinks that that is really, it takes so much of the potential gravitas away from the subject with these people that are being, you know, that are hoaxers and being and buying into hoaxes. So whoever that was that responded obviously doesn't fully understand the relationship.
So this is basically out of date, out of time. This is nothing that applies to the current situation.
No, JC was very upset about the way that whole thing went down. He spent a lot of time and was taken in. You know, he was in a place of trust. I think Biscardi, to a certain degree, was as well. But based on my limited knowledge of you know, what happened and how it happened. But I think JC means well. I really do think that he is a man on a mission. Whether he has suspended his disbelief more than other people or not, that's open to debate. But again, JC has a good heart. I don't think he is purposefully misleading people, purposefully lying. I really do feel he believes these stories that we hear. But he's had more things happen to him than any other person I know. I swear, it's just amazing. If all this stuff was true, I mean, you know, Hollywood should come knocking on his door.
I think that's what breeds the skepticism. You can't believe that any single person is going to have so many experiences. Of course, where he lives, where he hangs out, he probably makes himself susceptible to more than I would. I mean, I'm a hermit. I live in one place, and I get out occasionally. Yeah. You have something to say, but you're not going to do it.
Well, I don't know. If you've ever been down to the Chuska Mountains or the Lukachukas and some of those areas of northeastern, you know, northeastern Arizona and, let's say, like, northwestern New Mexico, I mean, that is spooky country out there. And it's not by accident that the people that live there have traditions that that talk about strange creatures and other things. You know, sure, your average person in Cincinnati or New York City would think, oh, that's just a bunch of hicks with a lot of tall tales and they believe anything. Well, that's not quite true. And I'll be the first one to stand up for some of the wonderful Native American folks that live up there and truly have strange experiences. I mean, you know, I've investigated for over 20 years a lot of interesting reports, and there's got to be something to at least some of these claims. I'm not sure if it's what people think it is. It may be misinterpreted, but the bottom line is, unless you've been out there and you've looked these people in the eye, you've interviewed people that claim they have strange experiences, unless you've done that, you can't come across as being a know-it-all and someone that knows more than the next person unless you've walked in their shoes and really gone out and done the work. I don't care who you are.
It's not easy. It's not just black and white, which is the problem with this entire field.
Exactly.
It's not always either or. Sometimes the truth is in that vast gulf in the middle between the two extremes.
Yeah. Well, extraordinary claims do require at least impressive evidence. I don't know if it requires extraordinary evidence, but, hey, come up with something, man. Everybody's got a cell phone with a camera on it now. Let's get some pictures. Let's get some. Let's take some of that Bigfoot scat and get it tested. Let's try to apply the rigors of diagnostic science and optical physics and some of these disciplines that could help us gain a further understanding. Come on.
Come on, we've got a scientist coming up, Dr. Bruce Maccabee, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Back after several years, Dr. Bruce Maccabee joins Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Bruce, we have a lot of new listeners who really aren't familiar with your work and background. Well, it helps us, too. So let me ask you, first of all, how does a scientist get interested in UFOs? Isn't that something where they kind of look at you and say, what is this all about?
Well, I guess a lot of scientists take an interest in the subject. The question is, how long is that interest going to last? A number of people start off with the subject and end up spending their time grinding their wheels against cases that are poorly reported or might even be hoaxes or fabrications or whatever. And then they decide, well, there's nothing to it, and I'm out. However, I guess I was fortunate in the sense that aside from reading books back in the 60s and getting intrigued by what was in the books, I was on some case investigations that turned out to be non-trivial in the early 70s. And so that's what kept my interest. And then I got into studying early sightings in the 40s and 50s and even going so far as to read the files of Project Blue Book when they became available on microfilm at the National Archives back in 75. And, of course, I was doing case investigations. I started the McMinnville investigation in 1974. That's been one of the major things that I tackled. And looking back on that, over the years, I guess it was sort of brash of me as a inexperienced guy just barely getting a PhD in physics to tackle a case that was so famous and the only one that was endorsed by William Harman in the Connery Show report. And when I started investigating that, I figured I'd probably be able to prove that it was a hoax. But the more I looked, the more I saw things that said not hoax. And you can read the results of my investigation on my website. So anyway, how does a scientist get interested in the subject? Well, like I said, some of them have gotten temporarily interested and then drop out, but I kept going. There are scientific aspects to UFO studies.
Well, obviously, if UFOs were spaceships, visitors from another world, there would be scientific aspects. But should we even assume that, or is that just a little too early in the stage?
Well, there are scientific aspects to the investigation, which is one of the things that caught my interest as I read books and read history of early sightings and so on, which was that very often for us, a very particular sighting, it's fine to be skeptical about sightings and then propose potential solutions, but you should be able to prove that the solution you propose actually fits the available data, at least in a reasonable way. And one thing I was struck by was the tendency of severe skeptics to ignore or modify the sighting data in order to make their preferred explanations stick. Most people don't know it, but there's seven explanations have been proposed. I think it was seven for the Kenneth Arnold sighting, which is the first one on record, so to speak. They can't all be right. There has to be one explanation.
Okay, but you said seven explanations, Bruce.
You said several.
Several, okay.
I said seven.
You said seven.
I don't
okay.
know if that's the exact number, but the point is that there should be only one. Skeptics seem to act as if the more explanations you can propose, the more likely it is that you've explained the case.
You're suggesting, though, that the skeptics would manipulate the facts in order to come up with any of these seven explanations. How so?
Drop out information, reinterpret the information, act as if they were there at the time of the witness of sighting and so on. But ignoring certain parts of the information, of course, is one of the key things, or attributing a sighting to a mundane cause that just barely fits. And if you go back to the Kenneth Arnold sighting, anybody who's in this subject should be thoroughly familiar with that, because that's the one sighting where you can say Kenneth Arnold did not generate his story because he was a copycat. There was no way for him to copy something that hadn't been reported up to that point, at least publicly. If you look at the official explanation for the Kenneth Arnold sighting is mirage. If you look into that a little bit more, what they're really talking about are mountaintop mirages. Well, now, Kenneth Arnold talked about objects that were traveling from his first sighting north of Mount Rainier. He saw them fly past Mount Rainier and southward towards Mount Adams. A mountaintop mirage is a mirage of the peak of the mountain. And guess what? It stays over the peak of the mountain. It doesn't move laterally at all. So you have to totally ignore Arnold's description of these things flying from far left to far right. You have to ignore that in order to be able to even marginally claim that he saw a mirage. That's what I mean by ignoring the data.
What about the explanation that's been proposed that these were actually man-made craft, maybe holdovers from some sort of Nazi technology like the Horton brothers type design or something like that. Where do you come down on that explanation?
Well, I don't buy the Nazi UFO theory, first of all. Their capabilities, again, if you go right back to Kenneth Arnold's sighting, you have to understand he gave a considerable amount of interesting data talking about the angular size compared to something. He compared with an airplane that he could see off in the distance to his left. And these things, he watched his the clock on his dashboard for 102 seconds. It took these objects to go from Mount Rainier to Mount Adams, about 50 miles. That comes out 1,700 miles an hour. There was no Horton disc that could do 1,700 miles an hour. There was nothing that could go that fast. Chuck Yeager, the guy with the right stuff, broke the sound, so-called sound barrier, 700 miles an hour approximately, in October of 47. That was the fastest man-made thing on Earth. So, again, if you want to accept the Nazi UFO theory for Kenneth Arnold's sighting, you somehow got to ignore a whole bunch of stuff that Arnold talked about.
That being the key of what you just said here, that a lot of these cases where the skeptics come up with answers, they simply manipulate the facts or pretend some things were never said.
Right.
All right.
And Dr. Menzel was a famous scientist. He wrote the first scientific book on flying saucers, called, oddly enough, Flying Saucers. He had a couple of explanations for Kenneth Arnold's sighting. One was billowing blasts of snow. This is, he was talking about snow blowing off the sides of Mount Rainier and making big puffy clouds of snow. He argued this in order to explain the bright flashes that Arnold talked about. Now, Arnold talked about flashes like looking at the sun or looking at a welding arc, but Menzel simply said, well, these puffs of snow would be quite bright, seen at a distance of 20 miles. Well, they would require a huge wind blowing past Mount Rainier to make sizable puffs of snow.
Yeah, probably 800 miles an hour.
Kenneth Arnold flew past Mount Rainier after his sighting, and he had no problem at all with the wind. In other words, there weren't any winds strong enough to move billowing blasts of snow 500 miles or 800 miles. And by the way, Menzel rejected the 1,700 mile an hour calculation and said it was probably more like 500 miles an hour, which...
Okay, so I need to break it there.
Okay.
Dr. Bruce McAbee joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Donald Menzel, very interesting guy there. I remember he was on a TV show maybe in the late 60s or early 70s. And he was talking about a particular case. And he just made some general comments, and maybe he was getting on in years, I don't know. We all are getting on in years. But the pro-UFO guy looked at him, started asking him questions, and he practically turned red-faced over the specifics. So I could see where he'd say, well, the only way to fit this in is to suggest that the speed estimate had to be wrong.
Right.
That sounds typical.
And Heineck himself was a guilty of that. Heineck couldn't accept the idea that these things might be hundreds of feet in size going past Mount Rainier at long distance, and said probably it was up close and was some 400 mile an hour ordinary airplane that Kenneth Arnold saw, a bunch of ordinary airplanes flying by at a speed of 400 miles an hour instead of 1700 miles an hour, a distance of 20 miles. They were a few miles away and traveling only 400 or something miles an hour. So when you're allowed to modify the data, basically say the witness doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, in some cases, that's true. Plenty of times I've analyzed a bright light in the sky where a person says, it's following me, and you find out that it's the so-called following phenomenon, that if there's a bright light in the sky that's far enough away, and you're traveling, let's say you're traveling north or south, and this light is east of you or west of you, as you travel along, it seems to go right along with you. Why? Because the direction of the sighting line, if you travel on a straight line north, a straight line south, and you're looking off to the left or off to the right and seeing some object there so far away that the angle of sighting with respect to your heading in the car stays the same until you come to a curve in the road or something. And that's the Venus following phenomenon. People see Venus in the evening or something like that, and they're driving along a straight stretch of road, and darned if this bright light up there in the sky seems to follow right along. So, in other words, sometimes the witness is misreporting or doesn't understand what's happening. Very often they will give the data correctly, but their interpretation is wrong. The job of the investigator is to separate the observation from the interpretation. If you get a witness who says that the spaceship was following me as I traveled along, that's his interpretation. You have to get to the actual data itself. Well, what were you exactly looking at? Well, it was just the bright light up there. It was so bright. It must have been close. The interpretation, it must have been close. Whereas, right. In fact, you can't really tell the distance of a bright light at night. If the intensity fluctuates a lot, you could say the light is coming through a lot of the atmosphere, and it might be a long distance away. But, of course, somebody looking at Venus and not realizing how bright it can be, it can appear very bright, would think it's within a light within a few miles, maybe, but no farther than that, whereas it's more like some 20 million miles away.
I've had a law enforcement officer go up and down a highway chasing after a fixed light on top of a center pivot sprinkler that was blinking. So, yeah, I mean, you know, an untrained eye can be fooled fairly easily. But, I mean, there are some cases from back in the 40s and 50s, some photographic cases that are pretty impressive. Of course, we have a question here from one of our newbies at forum.theparacast.com, Deadpan Man. And he's interested in your current opinions about the famous Trent photographs from McMinnville, Oregon. I think you did a complete analysis of those back in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. What do you think of these recent allegations that other photographs on that roll showed evidence of a thread or something suspending the object? And then I think another article came out about a ladder that was seen right in the same spot where the other photographs were taken.
There were two pictures on the roll that had the UFO. The picture before and the picture after, and the ones before and after were pictures of ordinary scenes, landscape and people and stuff like that. So there were only two pictures that showed the UFO. And I learned a lot from analyzing that case starting in 1974. And I actually spoke to Mrs. Trent a number of times, probably a total of about 20 hours worth of conversations with her over a period of a couple of years. I couldn't talk to Mr. Trent because he had a hearing aid at the time and didn't like to talk on the telephone. Now, this is back in the 70s, the early 80s, right? And on my website, there are two big papers. One of them is totally technical, having to do with William Harman's method of estimating the distance of the object by looking at how bright the bottom of it was. And another paper which includes comments about that, but also a lot of other aspects to the sighting, including the witness descriptions and testimony by other people as to the veracity of Mr. and Mrs. Trent. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Trent were finally interviewed on a video about a year before they died. They died in 1995 and 1996. And about a year before that, there was a guy who videotaped an interview of him. And here in 95, I saw Mrs. Trent talking exactly the same way she did when I talked to her on the telephone 20 years earlier. Their stories never changed. There's been a lot of, garbage-type explanations proposed for what they did, starting off with a garbage can lid thrown up into the sky. Was one explanation years ago. The most fundamental aspect that I discovered was a photo a UFO does not make. A photo of a UFO could prove to the hoax if you analyze the photo and you find a string or some suspension. And, of course, that was that sort of a search was made of the Trent photos, which have been analyzed by a number of top-notch organizations, including the Los Alamos National Laboratory and Jet Propulsion Laboratory. These people all had highly modern, back in those days anyway, capability for analyzing photos. And of course, I have my own ability to analyze and make measurements and so on. Everybody was searching for strings. Nobody found anything that's conclusive. But it turns out that a UFO does not make. A photo can cause the sighting to be rejected if you find something that's clearly evidence of a hoax in the photo. But you could also argue that somebody lucks out and makes a perfect photo with no evidence available, no evidence apparent in the photo of a hoax. In which case, the proof or disproof has to fall back on the circumstantial evidence, which includes everything that was happening beforehand, or what happened during the sighting, and what happened after, is a witness testimony, the witness character, and so on. And I concluded that, first of all, I couldn't find any proof that the photos were hoaxes, that any proof that was in the photos. And then by comparing their sighting stories and their personalities and so on over years of interaction, I concluded the whole thing was real.
Yeah. Well, that brings up an interesting point now that we're in the digital.
You'll have to give my website out so that people can go look. But if you go and search for the McMinnville, you'll find two big papers there that'll keep you off the streets for a few days.
Okay. Well, that brings up a good point, Dr. McAbee, that in this digital age, it's getting more and more difficult to trust any sort of images that are coming out because of the amazing abilities that some people are bringing to bear on hoaxing photographs with digital pixelated information. And where do you come down on this? Do you think the digital age is making it more difficult to trust any photographs? This is a question from one of our longtime listeners, Bert State.
I'll tell you what, before we do that answer, because we're just about at the end of the segment, we have longtime UFO researcher, Dr. Bruce McAbee, and he has a site, brewmac.8k.com. That's the right one, right, Bruce?
Yes.
Okay, if you go there, you'll find more. We'll have it also linked at the Paracast site. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
A little rise, a little laugh, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the no-no, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible no-no hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Dr. Bruce McAbee joins Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Before we did our requisite break, as we got to do every, 9 to 10 minutes or so, Chris was asking a rather long question. Bruce, you had any further comments?
Well, he would ask about the modern situation with digital duplicity, you might
sure.
say. Yeah, it makes it easier. Yeah, the person who knows nothing about photo analysis and stuff like that can go to an application that will deposit a nice little UFO picture right into any background scene you want to photograph. Back in the old days, it was tougher because you actually had to know something about how the photographic process worked to make something convincing. Double exposure, for example, where you expose some bright UFO, for example, you go into your bathroom where it's all dark, you have a UFO that's brightly lit, and you take a photograph of it. You have to have a camera where you can back the film up, or a camera where you can take a picture without having it move the film. Then you go outside and you take a second photograph on the same piece of film, and now you've got a bright UFO. If you have a dark sky at night or enough light so you can see some surroundings to give the picture some background information, when you develop a picture, you have this bright UFO up in the sky, maybe, if you're clever with it. And there are other things you can do, but the bottom line always is, you could have a perfect fake, or you could have a real photograph. Just by looking at the photograph, you don't necessarily know if it's a perfect fake. You have to look at all the background stuff. Many of the photos that have come out and publicized in the last 10 or 15 years have been essentially published by anonymous. That is, you don't know who the cameraman is. That means you can't go and interview him. There was a series of photos by a guy who called himself Chad 5 or 6 years ago. What was that? The Chad photos of something that looked like a ceiling fan almost, with blades on it. And so far
talking about
photos,
the California drone, supposed drone photographs.
Right, the Chad drones, that's what I was trying to think of, right. Will that turn out to be a publicity stunt or not? I can't recall. MUFON never, as far as I recall, MUFON was never able to get a hold of the actual photographer. There are supposedly several people in different parts of the country who had seen the same thing. But that doesn't mean that it was actually real. It could have been a setup. And so as far as photos are going, you still have to have all the background stuff. It has to be self-consistent. And if it turns out that the photographer is a Steven Spielberg special effects guy, you may as well forget it. Even if he did see a real UFO, nobody would believe him.
Worse, Bruce, is you don't need to have a special effects guy from Industrial Light and Magic or Digital Domain or any of these other companies. With low-cost video editing applications and Photoshop and these really high-end cameras for very little money, you can do wonders. So it goes right back to the same thing again. You got to go back to the witness.
Yep, that's exactly what I was saying. In the Trent case, for example, you can argue, well, they were fortunate. They picked a thread that was the color of the background. One might imagine a white or a grayish thread. It was the same color of the background, so it was hanging by a thread, all right, but you can't see it because you can only see in photography or even in your eyeball, whatever, you can only see things that are contrasty. If there's no contrast, you can't see it. So if they had used a black thread, maybe you could see a black thread against a sort of a brightish distant scene, the horizon at sunset. But if they use a white thread, it wouldn't have enough contrast to be able to be seen. It would be tiny to begin with, and a tiny image width-wise, a tiny image width-wise for the thread, and then if it's the same color as the background, you have zero chance of seeing it. So they could have been lucky. One can always argue they could have been lucky, and there's no evidence that's available in the film and the photos. They have to look at all the other stuff. And as I said, I got into it deeply, all the other stuff that went on, their story and so on, and ultimately concluded they were telling the truth.
Just one fast question here. With so many people running around with really good cameras, being the ones in their smartphones or iPhones, whatever, why don't we see more potentially real UFO pictures now than we ever did?
Because people are too busy looking down, texting.
That's one reason, maybe.
We do have a lot of stuff. I get a couple of things every week, I guess, or sometimes a couple a day to look at, and I just don't have time for everything. And a lot of people, they go by their own interpretation of what they saw, and they say, I saw a UFO, here's the story behind my sighting, and here's the video. I look at it, and it shows a bright light, but so what? There's not much I can do with it. If you have super high resolution, now there's some people who take super high resolution pictures under controlled circumstances. A guy I know, Wilbur Allen, for example, has taken some interesting stuff. The typical one is somebody taking a low resolution, camera. I have to say that video cameras and cell phones are getting quite good. They can't match the super expensive regular cameras, but they're getting quite good. But I just got one today from a guy who says he's been looking at it. He thinks he's got a UFO, so I look at it. He's got a small, bright image there. There's nothing you can really tell about it. You can't talk about shape. You've got to have some angular size to the object before you can start talking about shape and learning any characteristics of the object itself, other than the fact that it's got some brightness to it.
And most of these photos you see online, YouTube, whatever, just lights in the sky.
Yeah. And when you see something that's got a definite shape and angular size, you immediately become suspicious.
Well, yeah, and that,
almost,
this is...
the old adage is, if it's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true.
Well, let's talk about a high-res picture that was snapped by the Costa Rican military in 1971 in northern Costa Rica. It's a very famous photograph. It was featured in one of Jacques Vallée's books. Recently, an analyst came forward with the observation that if you turn the picture upside down, it looks exactly like the reflecting part of a flashlight. Where do you come down on the Costa Rican picture?
In this situation, you have an airplane flying along doing a geographical survey photos. It's just automatically taking pictures as it travels along. Is somebody going to say that this photo was not taken that way?
Well, I think there's a problem with the evidence chain, though, isn't it? This thing didn't come forward until 73, if I remember correctly.
I don't know. It would be checkable because it was presumably one frame out of a long film of frames of pictures, one after another. I can remember Hynek talking about it, and he even gave me about a foot square blow up, or maybe it was even bigger than that. In any case, you'd have to prove that the story of how this photo was taken was basically a complete fabrication, a fake. And that, in principle, could be done by going to Costa Rica, looking up the original film strip, and seeing if this photo is there. For someone to say it was a flashlight, the person can't really do more than say, well, I think it was, and therefore I'm going to ignore the picture. It always depends on your interpretation of something and what you're going to do with it.
Right.
If your interpretation of everything is it's all fake, then you're going to go and do something else. If you run into something that isn't clearly a fake, maybe you'll spend some time with it and learn something.
Well, when I heard
that Costa Rica photo, so far as I know, is legitimate. The story is it was on a film strip taken by geographical survey airplane that was just flying along taking pictures. And after they looked at the pictures one by one, they found this one with a strange image on it, which for everything.
So we know that this image
like coming out from one dimension into our dimension or something like that. It looks like the left edge of it is hardly there.
All right, Chris has a comment to make, and we'll hold that comment till our next segment. We'll also be getting to some more of your questions. Dr. Bruce McAbee joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.